fears of a bank run in Cyprus.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. There is a vote scheduled for today in Cyprus on that controversial tax on bank deposits that tanked global markets yesterday. It would siphon off as much as 10% of all deposits in Cyprus banks before the banks reopened on Thursday in order for the country to get a bailout from the EU. The BBC's Nigel Cassidy is in Nicosia, Cyprus, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, so what's the latest on this plan?
Well, the latest is we're waiting for another meeting of the parliament with very little certainty that the opposition will support the main party's proposal. They need to raise 5.7 billion euros fast, and there's particular controversy over whether every saver in every bank with deposits under 100,000 should have to provide at least 3%, possibly a great deal more. It's very controversial. People don't like it, and it may be thrown out, leaving Cyprus's banks really with days to live.
Well, you're in Cyprus. Have you been talking to people? What are they saying about this?
Well, what people say is that as personal private savers with just businesses to run and lives to lead, that they are being punished because of large deposits placed not only by Russians but other foreigners in Cyprus because although it wouldn't admit it in these terms, the country has attracted hot money from all over the world. The banks have grown far too large, and with the Eurozone only willing to provide very limited support, the whole system is imploding.
Now, the central bank has said today that they're expecting 10% of depositors to take all their money out on Thursday when the banks reopen. Have you talked to any people who plan to do that?
Well, I have. And, of course, the difficulty people have had is that they don't have any way of doing that. We don't really know if the banks will properly open for business, even when they do open. Cash machines were just not working over the last couple of days. Some of them were working now. They're already running out of money. And what you could say is that with events as they have unfolded here, it is a perfectly rational decision for people to want to take their money out because of their fears. I mean, it even happened in the UK when Northern Rock collapsed. So there is history here, and in many ways, the authorities, this is something they need to talk about right now.
The BBC's Nigel Cassidy in Cyprus for us. Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you very much.
Well, picking up on that point, after all these years, why haven't banks figured out how to handle a bank run? Here's Marketplace's David Weinberg.
Most people have never experienced a run on their bank. Maybe you've seen old black and white depression photos of people lined up outside a bank to withdraw their money. But bank runs usually start with a panic that causes a large number of account holders to try to withdraw their funds all at once.
And when that happens to any bank, that bank is in trouble.
Alex Pollock is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute.
And I understand you've actually lived through a very real bank run.
Yes.
Pollock was an officer at Continental Illinois in 1985. Its failure that year, caused by a bank run, was the largest in U.S. history up until 2008. Pollock says you shouldn't think of your deposits as physically being in the bank. The bank doesn't keep your money.
It keeps a little, but most of it lends out.
Christopher Phelan is a professor of economics at the University of Minnesota. He says that's why banks can't handle large numbers of depositors withdrawing their money, those loans to the bank, all at once. This is why the FDIC was created in 1933, to insure all that money that banks have on paper, but not in their vault. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 2% in Tokyo, but down 0.4% right now in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 62 points to close at 14,452.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Samsonite is reporting strong profits this morning. It has benefited from better returns in the travel industry as people take more trips. Apparently, many of them are upgrading their suitcases. Here's Adam Allington.
Scott Ford has got his sales pitch down. I mean smooth. What we've got is we've got a Polycarb bag. It is in a black mat. It's got a four-wheel system on it.
Ford is a manager at Passport Luggage and Gifts at the St. Louis Galleria Mall. My guess is if anyone can make luggage sexy, it's him. What he's showing me now is a medium-sized carry-on by the German company Rimowa.
And how much does it cost?
This bag right now retails for $525.
Wow, that is quite a lot for a carry-on.
It is.
But people are buying it.
People are not only buying it, it's doing very, very well.
After years of cutbacks, he says people appear to be traveling again, and the numbers back him up.
When you have, as you do have, you know, travel increasing again to a new all-time high in 2013, it definitely has positive spillover effects.
David Huther is a senior vice president for research and economics for the U.S. Travel Association. While domestic travel has been rising steadily in recent years, he says the real driver of the industry is emerging markets like China, India, and Brazil.
The importance of the emerging markets really can't be overstated with respect to the travel industry.
In terms of growth, Asia generated a full third of luggage maker Samsonite's sales in 2010. That prompted Samsonite to float its IPO on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange to be closer to one of its main customers. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, Lululemon shares are down 6% in pre-market trading this morning after the yoga apparel company announced that some of its pants are see-through. Lululemon is blaming one of its suppliers, and I'm just waiting for them to advise angry customers to do more yoga to calm down. See how that goes over. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.